Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right. Hey, I'm here with Tara Erickson. Hello, Tara Erickson.
Hello.
So our usual podcast hosts aren't here because one of them is having a baby and the other one is on vacation. So that's Bill and Jessica. But I'm here. I've got nothing going on. So I get the honor of interviewing the star of the Lifetime movie that is premiering Saturday, the 7th at 8 p.m., Tara Erickson. Tara, welcome to the show. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm so excited, man, for this to come out.
So I told you this is going to be mostly me complimenting you. So I'm going to start with a compliment. The best acting that you do in the movie, you do a lot of great acting. The best acting, you don't even say a word. It's when you're doing the little hoodie thing where you zip up the hoodie and you're just taking a second to breathe before you go outside. You tell me everything about your character in 1 second. It's like silent movie acting. You're scared, but determined, but a little bit angry that you have to. It's all emotion at once. The people, when they watch the movie, they'll see it. I don't even have a question. Just, hey, you did great there.
I love it. Yeah, that was like a little bit of improvising, actually, when we filmed that. I think in the script, it did say like, okay, or something. And I remember just being like, yeah, I think I would like, it would be more under my breath, sort of panicking, like, okay.
Right,
like,
right, shit, not saying it.
Yeah, like a whole deal. I forget. Can we curse? I think I just said the F word.
No, it's quite all right. We are an E-rated podcast, so it's okay.
E listening? What does E mean? I don't know what E means.
Explicit.
Right. You're talking about E like that you see on a CD. I don't think in terms of E in a podcast.
Absolutely. So good. If you just want to freestyle rap about different sexual positions, that's okay. I'm not encouraging you to do that. I'm just saying you could if you wanted. So, so if people don't know, I wrote the screenplay, and I just want to take a moment here to say, anytime you improv stuff that I wrote, it was better than what I wrote. So thank you for that. So
yeah, I mean, it was fun. And also Mary and Buzz, like, definitely helped out with the writing too. And, you know, tweak some stuff on set. And
yeah, well, it was good because, as Mary said, you know, I'm a guy and we are writing women. And, you know, this is actually something that I as a writer, especially as a middle-aged white man, like, am I allowed to write for women anymore? Like, I'm not saying that I'm making fun of woke culture, but sometimes I'm like writing and I don't know if I should or not. So it's good to have a set of female eyes on it to go, no, that's not how we talk, Jay.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we're kind of in that like cancel culture, I don't know, arena.
Right.
And even, I mean, I feel the pain because I just, I directed a short film and it dropped on my YouTube channel a couple weeks ago, but I'm making a sequel. In the sequel, there are two lesbians in it.
Right.
I wanted to cast two of my actor friends, but both of them were like, listen, we've read too many articles about like straight people playing gay people. And I'm like, I would love to have actual gay people play the role. There's not a lot of money that I have. So it doesn't even matter. I found my two friends who are gay, who are a couple, are going to play those two because they are actually gay. And I'm like, great, I got that covered. Because Mary also plays a lesbian in it and she's not gay. But I'm like, I get your pain where I'm like, am I allowed? But what if they're really good actors, but they're not? Like, it's that whole thing.
And just like even writing sometimes, you know, the best way I can handle it is like colorblind casting. You know, that way I'm not writing this is an African-American or this is an Asian-American, because then it feels like maybe I'm not allowed to write that. I'll just write a character and then we'll just cast whoever for the character and go from there. But it's not a political stance. It's honestly, you've read my Twitter feed. I'm so liberal that I offend myself. So it's just coming from the point of view of like, how do I live up to the ideals of trying to, you know, be inclusive, but also not take a job away from somebody or do it incorrectly. You know what I mean? So it's,
yeah. I mean, writing that line, exactly what you said, how do I do it without taking a job away from someone? Meaning I want to give the gig to two actors who are like, I would love to be in this short film to have footage and it would be fun.
Right.
Versus giving it to friends who are not pursuing an acting career, but who are gay. And right. I'm like,
exactly.
You know, so.
Or from the writing point of view of, I want to make an inclusive group of people. I want to have someone in the group be gay because in any group there's gay people, but yeah. You know, I guess it's different if they're just, you know, somebody that you're writing versus trying to like express what their life is like.
Right.
That maybe that's where the line is. I don't know. I don't mean to get a sidetracked. It's just one writer to another. One, you know, you get where we're coming from here.
I get it.
So you guys did the movie. I forget now. It's like February. Is that when you filmed or was it March?
I think we started late February. Yeah, late February, beginning March. We went right. For 2 weeks, 3 weeks, something like that.
Right. It felt like more like a day and a half with the amount of time we had to shoot. But Buzz, our director, did a fantastic job. And he also produced this. Is that how you came to be in the project? You know Buzz?
Yeah, so I actually know Mary O'Neill, who stars in Psycho Storm Chaser alongside of me. I've known her for about 18 years. We went to musical theater school together. She's one of my best friends. And then when Buzz started doing the Just Scare Me, he started making short films over quarantine, and I was in a couple of them. And then I was also in a Lifetime movie around when he started that. I was in a different Lifetime movie called The Twisted Nanny, which has now changed its name to The Nightmare House, which you can rent online. It's right. Got two different names. I don't know why. That's how it goes.
I once wrote a story that was called The Perfect Pose, and it became Psycho Yoga Instructor last year. And it was one of those deals where like people watch it, they go, this yoga instructor is not very psycho. And I was like, what? Originally he wasn't that psycho. So I wrote this one from the ground up with, this guy's going to be psycho. There's nobody can say not psycho enough, totally psycho. Anyway, I interrupted you. Go on.
No, I love it. I mean, people love psycho. I mean, yeah. I remember reading Ribs Park, who plays the psycho in Psycho Storm Chaser, and being like, man, I hope one day somebody makes like, even in one take in the line of the movie, there's a part where I'm not going to spoil the thing. It's a highlight of the film. And they're like, all right, just do whatever you want now. And I played the line like a complete and utter psycho. And they were like, yeah, not. Buzz was like, yeah, no, that was too intense. I was like, I know, I just wanted it for my blooper reel. Like,
right. So I have psychos. This.
Yeah. But anyway, that's how I know Buzz. I was in a couple of his short films, and then he checked out my other Lifetime movie and was like, oh yeah, all right, like let's come on, you know. So so yeah, I already knew him. I mean, him and Mary, I've known them forever.
Right. And I know Buzz.
Worked out.
I just knew him as a producer, and I originally called him just to produce. I was like, hey, I need a producer on this because I don't know what I'm doing. Do you know any good directors? And he was like, I do actually. And he was me. So I said, oh, great. Well, let's make this happen. So it was very nice that it all came together. And I should tell you that my wife and daughter, I learned something about women during the production of all this, which is if a guy is good looking enough, you will forgive a lot.
You will.
My wife and daughter, you know, loved Rip, just thought he was fantastic. And, you know, the whole time, she's 10. My wife is 26.
Yeah, good. Good save.
They were like, you know, I know he's crazy and I know he's evil, but I like him. And I'm like, how could you? He's a likable killer. I get that. But I just think like I realized I am never going to be good looking enough that I could also be a psycho killer. You know what I mean? Like, that's true distinction.
Yeah, you got to leave that up to ex-models, which Rib was for a very long time. He was a model, as you can see, by just looking at him as like an older guy. You're like, he's hot. And he's
my wife has sent me several pictures of Rib from his modeling days. Like, hey, look at this. I see. It's all right. So my goal, like, I just want to be good looking enough that I could not pay at a McDonald's. and my wife would still forgive me. Like petty crime. Like I just drove through the drive-thru. My wife would be like, "You're hot enough to get away with that."
Do we really think that like Christian Bale is driving through McDonald's and they're not charging him, Jay?
Yeah, it's a good point.
They are like, "Listen, it's $25 for your small fry."
I don't know what regular people pay food for.
So exactly. Yeah. He has no idea. He's like, "Here's a hundo."
So, you guys, this was a weird experience too, because we did this at the height of COVID.
Yes, we did.
You know, so this is filming early 2021. And we were talking right before we aired. We have not like talked outside of like Twitter.
Right.
You know, which is weird because usually we would have seen each other several times on set. And, you know, talked about this, and I would have been at the table read, which was a virtual table read. It was a weird experience. But do you think, just from the acting side, that it brought you guys closer together, or it changed the dynamic on the set? Like, was it different filming in COVID versus, you know, before?
Yeah, I mean, it was really different because there was, I knew a couple of the other actors, like Aqua Danso shows up as a cop. And I realized on set that I knew Steve Hofstetter through like Ben Glebe and other comedian friends that I know. Right. But like, it was funny because they couldn't have like Aqua film the same day as me, but he needed to go away and be off set before I could come in because COVID protocols, you can't have that many people. So it's like, but it was still the same on any set. Like it's basically talent and crew and you become a small family because I rely on Buzz the director, but I also in the midst, I'm listening to like the DP and I'm looking at what they're doing. If Buzz is busy and being like, "Do you want me to cheat in, cheat out, whatever." It's like all those people you could become very close with. And because I couldn't have other actors there, a lot of time it was the AD, Amanda, who would be reading Yvonne's lines or somebody else's lines to me so that I could react to them on the phone or on screens because I couldn't have the actual other person there.
Right. Yeah. So it, just so you guys know that Tara's character is, you know, she's got this ex that she, that most of their conversations take place on the phone. So normally, you know, the character, the actor would be there sort of feeding lines. And in this scenario, we couldn't do that. And it's always interesting because I've always tried to write myself a part in these things. I couldn't do it this time. You can always tell which part I write for myself because it's a single syllable name plus a color. I was Hank Green. I was, I forget the other one. But so I've been on a couple of these sets and there is that thing where you're like, we are a family and we will never not talk to one another. And then it's over and you don't talk to them. Like,
you don't ever again, right?
You
know?
You run into him like 7.5 years later and you're like, "How you doing?" "Pretty good." That's it.
Yep. You're like, "Oh, you worked on the other thing." They're like, "Yeah, good to see you." And then you might become another family again for 14 days and everyone is off to their own production and lives, except for sometimes it's cool when you can make friendships, you know, on set and you see them again on a different set and at least have them on a call sheet to be like, I mean, I've done it multiple times where I'm like, I need a sound person. I'm like, could I use that DP from that one shoot that one time? I'll find him on the call sheet. Like, you know, it's that kind of a thing.
And you do comedy too, right, Tara?
Yeah.
So I always say it's the same experience with comedians, especially, you know, because that's my background. I'm a comedian that, I guess depends on what year, like what, however much money I made. I'm either a comedian that writes screenplays or a screenwriter that does comedy. I don't know which I am this year. I'll tell you when I do my taxes. But that experience where you'll, you know, especially your peers, the people that you came up with, you're all working at the same time, which means you don't see anybody. So people will, like I always say, there's that experience of, hey, do you, like Steve is one of my best friends in comedy. It's like, when was the last time you saw him? Year and a half ago. And you're like, how is that a best friend? It's like, it's comedy. We're good friends. You know, the way it works is you're always passing in the night.
Oh, 100%. And it's funny. I mean, in regards to like, cause I don't do stand up anymore. But
good for you. You escaped.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, I'm only doing this because I'm an actor who wants to work. So if somebody comes to see my set in the 2 years that I was doing it, and is like, let's call her in to cast her in something. Right. That was more the only reason why I was doing it. I was like, I need to dip out of this because I'm not as in love with it. Like some people who love stand-up comedy, you, I'm sure, going out doing, you know, your comedy on stage. It's like people go to open mics. They love it. They feed off of it. It's like their medicine. To me, it was like, I'm doing this because I want to work as an actor and I'm funny. That, yeah. You know, like it was one of those things.
Just so people don't get confused. It's not so much my medicine as it is the thing I need to take to get right. It's my heroin. So yeah. I'm jonesing for it more than I am liking it. Just so everybody.
Yeah. Understands. Yeah.
It's a very addictive thing. I'll tell you a quick story. I was once cast in a movie because of stand-up, but I had no acting experience, no aspersion to be an actor, no ambition whatsoever. It was just this couple who was producing a movie, saw me in Vegas, and was like, do you want to be in a movie? And I was like, yeah, sure, I'll be in a movie. And here's what I discovered. Don't tell other actors on set that's how you got the movie.
Right.
They will dislike you at a very deep, they probably would have disliked me anyway, Tara. I'm not saying that
right.
This was the whole reason, but I remember that everybody sitting around, it's like, well, I do New York theater and I did 6 auditions for this and I got it. Like I've been in theater school and I did this. And they were like, how about you, Jay? And I was like, I just did a set in Vegas and they asked me if I wanted to do it. I don't really care one way or the other. And it was
exactly what Steve sounds like when he's on set, friend. Cause yeah. I was like, oh, you know, and he's like, oh, I do stand up. You know, I know Jay. He's like, I've been in a few of these. And I was like, oh, amazing. But Steve is hilarious. And he had a very tiny, like he played a cop and it was fine. It was great. But I'm like, if it was not me or like Mary and it was someone else, then I'm sure they would be like, oh, okay, great. Yeah. Cause I spent a month preparing for this and you just walked in and got it. Cause you know, someone, you know, like in their head, like I'll murder you and we're done. Like, just terrible.
You're sitting there doing like sense memory exercises and he's going like, I'm just going to say the words and then leave. Is that okay? Is that good?
100%.
Steve is kind of my good luck charm. He's been in 3 of the movies that I've written now. And
I love it.
All of them have sold. So I'm thinking it's, and as to go back what we're talking about, I'm not sure how to write for a ginger. So it's good.
Good.
I hope that the ginger community doesn't come after me like, hey, you don't really capture our voice here.
You don't. He's got red hair and he doesn't sound like it.
Yeah. They're like, I know this is not how the community would interact. So this is your second Lifetime movie, Tara? Is that?
Yeah. Yeah. Fortunately, like I was really stoked. And I think that me being in one before helped me get this one because they had some footage to look at of going like, oh, she can handle her own as a lead in a larger film. So I think it gave them the confidence to give me the role of Abby in this one.
Question for you, because like when you go to LA to be an actor or like if you get involved in anything in the entertainment industry, nobody knows what a big deal is and what a little deal is. They only sort of know what their own experience is. And I like, there'd be certain clubs I'd get into that would be like big clubs in the comedy community, but my friends don't know or care about it. So you go, oh, I passed at this club. And they'd be like, what does that matter? I got on, what was it? I did like 30 seconds on Last Comic Standing, didn't get passed or whatever, 2,000 phone calls. Like, oh my God, this is fantastic. I get, you know, it's weird that people don't know what it is that we do and get excited about different things, which is a long wind up to say, I would imagine are people in your life going like, oh my God, Lifetime. Like, do you have like aunts and stuff losing their mind?
I mean, some of them are like, oh man, you've got like a second Lifetime. Like, that's amazing. I bet you have a Lifetime TV show in no time. I'm like, yeah, I wish. That is not how the business works. I was very fortunate and lucky. And hopefully, I mean, really what I'm more hoping for, which I think would be good just all around, is just to get write-ups about it.
Right.
So there's a couple write-ups from the one before of like, you know, praising my acting in the movie before and stuff, which is would be great for this one, because it's more of like the buildup and the influence that a film would have on a general audience, right, to get people to notice, like, oh, that's a thing. Who was in that? This, it was directed by this, it was written by Jay Black type deal. Right. So that all of our brand comes up and hopefully the ticker on IMDb goes down.
And here's what I will tell you. Steve, I'm sure you've seen his Twitter page and his YouTube page.
Oh, yeah. Love it.
He's hosting a watch party.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he just posted today he's hosting a watch party. The last movie that we did, Psycho Yoga Instructor, it trended nationally. And I think in large part because of Steve. So there is a very good chance that Mr. Hofstetter will, I'm not putting pressure on him, because who knows if this will happen, Steve, if you're listening, no pressure. But if he's tweeting about it, that could be a big thing for us.
Yeah. I was thinking about live tweeting. I'm going to watch it with some friends, because I'm like, who's got cable? Wants to watch this bad boy. So right. We're going to have a tiny little watch party with like me and a few friends at my friend Skylar's house, who hosted the last Lifetime thing I was in. Cause he's, I'm like, you're the only one I know who has like cable and can record it. Right. And you have a giant TV, but I might live tweet it too, just for fun. I don't have as many, I'm probably not as active as you. I'm definitely not as active on Twitter as you and Steve, but I'm somewhat active. And I'm like, any way we can juice this puppy up and get people excited, I'm stoked. I want as many people watching it as we can get.
I agree with you. And I'll be honest, like, this is one of those ones. Listen, you do a low budget movie, and I think everybody knows this is a relative. This isn't a micro budget movie, but it's a low budget movie.
It is.
I call them qualifier movies, because you give them to somebody and you go, when you watch this, you have to understand, we didn't have a sound guy on day two. We had to like just figure it out. So some of the sound is we messed up, but just enjoy it. This is one of the ones that I don't feel like the need to qualify. Like, I just want people to see it, because I go, you're going to like it. It's fun. It's a fun movie. Plod. There's no pacing problems. And, you know, I'll tell you this. I don't know if this got back to you. One of the things that Lifetime praised to us when they bought it on the producing side was the relationship between you and Mary. Was super strong. And I'll find the exact words and tell you off thing here, but they thought that it was a very naturalistic, good relationship that I would agree with you guys. And knowing that you're really good friends in real life, it kind of makes sense.
Yeah. But
one of the things that we worked on through all the drafts was like, how quickly and in what way do we open Mary's character up to this potential friendship with your character? And, right, you know, at one point it wasn't until page 60, which was too slow. And at one point it was on like page 26, way too fast. You guys handled that perfectly. And I think it was you two on the acting side who found that groove of when does a boss become a friend?
Right, exactly. Yeah, we picked a couple of scenes out there where it was like, then Mary sort of had to play with relaxing a bit more. And me choosing moments where it's because I have a few like zingers in there. Luckily, yeah. I get to be, you know, natural and some slightly funny, but more towards I get to play off Ali, who is my co-nurse in the film. And Mary is the, you know, the owner of the house and all that. And she's very uptight. Right. Luckily, in my lines, I got to be a little more playful with her, even though it was like undercutting her. It was giving her a wink at the same time while knowing like, I'm going to tell you the truth, but I'm on your side. You right. hired me, but I'm here for good.
Well, one of the best moments between you two, I think, was an improv line where you say, there it is.
Yep. That was me going, hearing Mary's line and laughing. And just, it's fun when you know, if you know the director and you're like, I think we got that last one where I just, you know, you smile, you give a reaction if they right. don't want any improv. And for me, I improv so much. I mean, the line that's in the movie, I'm so glad that there it is. Yes. But the line that I improv that I love the most is where I go, she doesn't want the s'more that I have for her. And I go, okay, then yeah, I'll just go bury this one in the backyard and I'll make you a fresh one then. Okay. Right. Like trying to get her to laugh. And they kept that line in. And I was like, yay.
Well, I will say this, Tara, I hope this doesn't upset you. I'm telling everybody I wrote that line.
I love it. Go ahead.
I'm telling everybody in my life, I'm calling them up. The moment it happens in the movie, I'm saying, by the way, that one was specifically mine. No, that was great. You guys
and
did.
So was There It Is. Yeah. He needs to own that one as well.
All of them. Yeah. No, it was, you guys did a wonderful job on it. And I just want to say thank you so much for being in the movie and being as good as you were. And my hope is that we have 100,000 more movies that we're going to.
That would make my life. I've like, just all I want to do is be like, wouldn't it be so cool if we could just keep making these movies with like a certain team of people that just goes, you are our actors, or, you know, and we'll not always have like the same like lead or whatever, but we could at least be working in things, like maybe even just like once a year. Like, how fun would that be?
It'd be great. We'd be like the Wes Anderson of psycho Lifetime movies.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I was like, I want to be like Jamie Curtis. Like, she was come back, remember Halloween? I'm like, she's still working. She's like 70. I was like, let's do that, where he's just obsessed with like certain people, but I can like still swing in.
Yeah, like, it'd be great. It'd be like, we should build out the Exit 19-iverse.
Yeah.
So it's a connected universe. So like, Abby Fields is a nurse in the next one we're doing. But like, sometimes she's a background character and maybe she becomes a doctor now that she's together with, I'm not spoiling anything, folks.
Yeah.
You don't know. Well, maybe you even die. I don't even know. You might die.
Maybe I die. Maybe you come back as
a zombie in the sequel. And it's Psycho Zombie Nurse, which I'm writing.
Right, you know, I love zombie stuff.
It sells. So, hey, Tara, where can we find you? Give me some plugs. Where do you want people to go so we can shuttle them to where they need to be?
Heck yeah. Check me out on my YouTube channel. You can just search Tara Erickson. I'll pop right up. T-A-R-A and then Erickson, E-R-I-C-K-S-O-N. I'm at Tara Erickson on Instagram. I'm at the Tara Erickson on Twitter. And yeah, those are my main stuff. I also have a blog, I write, so talking, TALKINTARA, so talkingtara.com if you want to read my blog. I got a website, IMDb me, I'm on Google, and I just recently found out I'm on Wikifeet, which is a little terrifying, but I got a good score. It's like a 4.5 out of 5. In regards to feet, apparently.
What is Wikifeet?
Oh my God, Jay, you don't know. See, that's some people are like, oh my God, you're on Wikifeet. And other people are like, what the hell is that? No joke. Wikifeet is where people judge like famous people and also me, apparently, on their feet. Cause there's like people have a weird feet obsession and then they rate your feet. And I'm like, I've never posted a picture of my feet ever. Yeah. And of course, like 4 years ago, there's some, you know, it's a picture I took where my foot is like kind of sticking out, but I'm wrapped in a sheet. And I'm like, they literally see a pinky toe and like maybe another toe. And I'm rated on that picture and some other thing. And I'm like, oh my God, this is going to be what blows me wide open. This is just going to be, wow, her rating is so high. People need to know her.
Yeah, there's the Q rating, and then of course there's the Wikifeet rating, the two most important things. I just want to say I'm so glad I don't have fetishes. It's because I've said this and I've talked about this a lot on the podcast, so this is not coming out of nowhere. Two things about this. I just, because this is a fascinating thing. Go to see Tara everywhere that she's at. This is bonus content involving
bonus.
Number one, the reason why men like feet, I've read about this. I don't have this.
Oh my God, I can't wait.
So here's what it is. There is a map that every human being has in their brain of the human body, right? So when you think of face, there's a little patch of neurons that go. When you think arm, another little patch of neurons. If you think genitals, another little patch of neurons. The feet neurons are right next to the genital neurons. Like they're connected like by like a string. So for some people, there can be a crosswire. And when they think feet, their body reacts the same way we think genitals.
A genital.
Right.
That's so insane.
They can't help it. It's, and that's why feet are the most prevalent of these fetishes, because it's so close in their neural mapping of the human body. It's easy to get a crosswire. So that's number one. Number two, here's the other reason why I don't, this is like, I would hate having a fetish, because if you, like, let's say you get together with a guy, Tara, and he's perfect in every way, but he's got a foot thing. Okay. So for the rest, like, you're like, all right, I can put up with it. But you know, for the rest of your life, you got to fake enjoying touching him with your foot.
Right.
You got to do this thing of like, oh, I'm really into it. And I know in my heart of heart, I cannot do anything with my wife that I know she doesn't like. Like, it's just, I have to know that she likes it. So if I had to go through that, she'd have to lie to me from the very beginning, or else I couldn't be with her. You know what I mean? Like, right. The first time I mentioned feet, she'd have to go, I love touching men with my feet. So I would imagine it's a living hell for these guys. That's all. And if you have a foot fetish, still watch the movie, but also, ew, right?
I mean, my feet aren't going to be in this movie, sadly, you know, but hey, if you want to hit me up on Twitter, Instagram, and you want to pay me, you know, like $1,000, I'll send you a picture of a foot.
Yeah. By the way, that offer is open to me as well, to any gay men or women that have foot fetishes.
Women could like men's feet too, Jay.
Yeah. I got some hobbity feet. So if your thing is big and hairy, please find my foot fetish account, Big and Hairy Jay at Twitter.
Isn't it insane? People make money off feet accounts.
Yeah.
Make their living off of it, Jay.
Yeah. And I imagine the people who work it, like in Republican broadcasting, lie to their parents that they do foot fetish work. That's how they make
it. On the side, you mean?
Yeah. Like, no, when people ask, like, when they go back to their high school reunion and they work at Fox News and they're like, where do you work? They go, oh, I have a foot fetish Twitter pictures of my feet. So they don't have to tell them that they're Fox News employees. I think Bill's not here. He's the conservative. So I can do as much anti-Fox stuff as I want.
So, they use it as a plan B.
Yeah. No, what do you do? Oh, well, I was hoping for a job in the media. So I take pictures of my feet knuckles and I send them to old men who give me money. I thought you got a job at Fox News. Oh, no. I would never.
I have
integrity. I don't. And on that note, Tara, please go visit Tara. Please watch her in the movie. Follow her on Twitter. She is both a fantastically funny person, a fantastically talented actor, and you deserve to know her and have her in your life. So it was a pleasure, Tara, having you on the podcast. Thank you so much for putting up with me.
You're great. Your Twitter's hilarious. I hope we make so many more things.
I appreciate that. Well, we'll be in touch for sure.
Yes.
All right. Thank you, Tara.
Okay.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.